Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the EFG Daily Commute. My name is Stephen Dutzman. I am your host, as always. I am also the founder of EngagedFamilyGaming.com. That is a website on the internet where parents like myself and my co-hosts come together to give everyone the information they need to get their family game on. Sorry about last week, folks. I actually took the week off unexpectedly just because my schedule for the 4th of July week was so bananas. I really had no idea what I was doing, so I couldn't really brainstorm topics or really any of that. So, here we are, bonus episode to go come along with the regular three episodes. And today, I'm going to talk about something a little bit different. We're going to talk about a movie. I'm going to give my review of Spider-Man Far From Home, which is, movie came out last week. It is already doing fairly well in the box office. Who knew a Marvel movie was going to do very well? So we're going to do this in two parts. I am going to give my spoiler-free impressions where I talk about the movie. I'm going to talk a lot about Tom Holland because I really think he's pretty great. And I think the whole cast is great, but specifically, I think Tom Holland is great. And then I'm going to take a moment. I'm going to warn you guys towards the end. I am going to spoil the crap out of the movie and talk about what I think was pretty cool. So here we go. Spider-Man Far From Home. This is the culmination and it's not the culmination. Endgame was the culmination of Phase 3. Of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but Far From Home is the end. They have been very tight-lipped about what is happening during the, after Far From Home, as far as what the other movies are going to be, what the plot is going to be, what the themes are going to be. We've really known a lot of what Phase 2 and 3, like, we've known those things. And we've known those things for a while. So it was weird coming into the end of Phase 4 and not really have any idea, or end of Phase 3, rather, not really have any idea. And part of that is because they wanted to tie it up and kind of kick it off with Spider-Man Far From Home. And I think that's important, and I'll talk about some more of that with the spoiler section. Far From Home was the end. I think it was a very fitting and great end in that with any great comic book story. Because I think that the real theme of Infinity War and Endgame and Spider-Man and even Captain Marvel to a lesser extent is these are comic books now. These are comic books. And we should look at these movies the same way we look at comic book storylines, in that every end is really intended to be a jumping off point for someone else. Every one of these movies is going to be a awesome entry point to a series and an exit point. Right? Like these are comic book movies now. And not just comic book movies, but we have to treat them like comic book stories. And so this was a great end to Phase 3 and a launch into Phase 4. The basic plot synopsis that I can give you without any spoilers is Peter Parker he is still Spider-Man. He is dealing with the end of Endgame, which is obviously that Tony Stark sacrificed himself to save everyone, and obviously the world is very grateful for that. What's really interesting is Peter Parker has kind of always treated Iron Man as like this great kind of father figure hero, and now the rest of the world feels the same way. And so having everybody kind of catch up to what he already knew definitely a little shocking to him. Like, he sees everywhere he goes, he sees Iron Man's face, and that was kind of all over the trailers, right? It's kind of inescapable that he's trying to grieve, and they just won't let him. And because they expect him to move on. And a lot of this movie is Peter Parker dealing with the pressure of the fact that people need something, right? Like, Iron Man is gone, and that has created a power vacuum, and people need another hero. And so a lot of folks just assume it's going to be him. And he's not ready to take that step. The one thing that I really did appreciate is they used the beginning of the movie to explain, mechanically speaking, what happened to all the people that they saved at the end of Endgame, meaning people who did not get snapped out of existence. They all lived for 5 years. And then people who had been snapped out of existence, they came back and they didn't age a day. And they actually gave it a name. They called it the blip, which at the very least, which itself is kind of a dumb name for something so dramatic and tragic. However, it's particularly interesting because at the very least now they have an explanation and they explained it. I would presume that the beginnings of a lot of these Marvel movies in the near future are going to be dealing with those kind of plot lines, because there's a lot that could have happened with people given 5 years to kind of move on and deal with things, and then all of a sudden everything they thought they were leaving is back. So that'll be an interesting thing to kind of wrestle with. But it's funny to me, and I think indicative of how the story is going to move moving forward, that they explained, or really introduced, how crazy that is through the eyes of teenagers who were mad about having to start the school year over, even though they already took midterms, and relationship issues where there was a kid who was like the creepy, you know, the cool little brother, the awkward little brother, and now he's like, you know, super handsome and jacked because he spent 5 years with nobody else, you know, kind of growing up. Kind of introducing what is an incredibly complicated thing and would likely have had political and social repercussions across the universe. It's kind of neat that they decided to kind of introduce it to us with kid problems. They gave us a glimpse later on, and you know, Aunt May kind of explaining some of the stuff that happened. But yeah, it's really interesting that they did that. I thought everything was well put together. The fight choreography was very cool. Spider-Man is an interesting character in that he can sense danger, right? He has a spider sense, with a whole bunch of gags about that. But he's an interesting character to watch because every fight is just a super carefully choreographed dance. And it's kind of like gung fu without the guns. I love seeing him in action. I enjoyed trying to figure out which scenes were him and which scenes were mostly CGI, because I know Tom Holland can do a lot of his own stunts. He's a crazy, you know, his dancing ability is insane. So as a result, he has remarkable control over his body. So it's interesting to see what stuff he's actually doing. And I think the casting, Jake Gyllenhaal does a really great job as Mysterio. I love his costume, just the way that it looks. The way that it lights up just really looks really interesting in a, when they're in dark places, which they are a lot for some reason. You know, his armor glows in like a very specific way so you can see him. You can always see Mysterio. He's never kind of blending into the background. I thought that was kind of a neat visual touch. You saw it in the trailers, like the big, like, elemental monsters that they fight a lot. They look awesome. I love just the animation for, you know, the fire monster and the water monster. Those things were really cool. So that was kind of a neat spectacle. Obviously, you know, it wasn't the same as, you know, like a massive army from Endgame, but it didn't need to be. So this is definitely one that is worth bringing everybody to, because these are kid problems and because they just want to go on a school trip, and shenanigans keep happening. This is something that, you know, a lot of kids will identify with or appreciate. You know how they make, whenever they make shows for like middle school kids or, you know, kids in upper elementary, it's always about high school kids. This is how this felt to me. It felt like kind of Saved by the Bell, the superhero movie. And so as a result, you know, there is just enough to kind of let kids grab onto that outside of just cool explosions. So, I really dug it. Samuel Jackson is brilliant as always. I'm so glad that he's stuck around. I can't even imagine or fathom, how he just has all this time. But here we are. So that is my spoiler-free impressions. As you can imagine, I've been kind of dodging around a lot of stuff. I think it is great. It is absolutely worth seeing. The interesting thing is, if you're an MCU fan, you've already done that. But I think even if you don't really follow the Marvel Cinematic Universe and you just like Spider-Man, this is a great Spider-Man movie. For me, I think it's one of the best Spider-Man movies ever made. Tom Holland is my Spider-Man. And when I talk about the spoiler stuff, I will explain why I think that is relevant. So I'm going to play a music break. And then after a very short music break, I'm going to count from 10, and then I'm going to start spoiling. So I'm going to give you guys all sorts of time to make sure that you don't hear anything. So, hope you have a great day. For those of you that are leaving, have a wonderful rest of your day. I'll talk to you tomorrow. And until then, don't forget to get your family game on. Okay, so I can't actually do a music break in here, the app. I'm not sure how to use it. So I'm just going to count down from 10, and then we'll go. So 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, here come the spoilers. Okay. Spider-Man Far From Home, spoiler breakdown. All of us that watched that movie, everyone who watched that movie was in two camps. Either you knew Mysterio was a fraud going in because you know who Mysterio is from the comics, or you didn't. And so I knew Mysterio was full of crap from the beginning. They cast Mysterio as the villain. We knew Mysterio was the villain because Mysterio is a part of Spider-Man's rogues gallery. He has been forever. I knew his shtick is that he used illusions to make everyone think he had more superpowers than he actually does. But outside of that, I had no idea what was going on as far as how he was going to use those powers. Then when they started putting out trailers that showed him off as a, you know, as like he was trying to be the next Iron Man and that he was from another dimension, they started picking apart those assumptions through the marketing campaign. Oh, he's from another dimension. Okay, he's using these weird lasers. Oh, he's fighting these weird elemental things. They spent so much time picking apart those assumptions that for even me, who knew who Mysterio was, and I talked to a couple other comics fans who also knew, we were like, really? Maybe he does have superpowers. Like, maybe. They almost flipped me. But what's crazy about it is they almost flipped me just in time to immediately throw the gauntlet down when Peter made that very weird mistake of giving the glasses that Tony gave him to Mysterio. Right? When he gave it to him and then left, that was bananas. And I knew from the minute Peter gave him the glasses, like, all right, no, this is clearly, he's the villain. This would be way too neat for it to be an ending for a movie. And it absolutely was. Now, they almost got me, and I knew. So, I actually talked to my mother about this, because my mom, as I've talked about a lot on some of our other content, is that she loves the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but she doesn't know any of these characters outside of their movie counterparts. So, she had no idea who Mysterio was. No idea that he, from the comics, is a fraud, and, you know, none of that. None of it makes a difference to her. So, she, so, his weird heel turn caught her crazy by surprise. So, she had kind of a different experience than we did. There's a lot of, you know, the nerds that are familiar with it. A lot of us were like, well, is it, you know, like, is it possible? Like, we were questioning if it was possible. Maybe. I'm sure a lot of folks were maybe not as convinced as I was. But I was nearly convinced. So I'm sure there were a lot of folks who were like, no way, this is bullcrap the whole time. Well, my mom, she bought into it. Hook, line, and sinker. This is a new superhero. He's got cool laser beams. He has a cool suit. Weird bubblehead helmet thing. You know, he can fly. Sounds great to me. And then they kind of pulled the rug right out from under her and kind of revealed the true Mysterio that we've all been used to. I thought that that was a really well done bit to kind of catch both longtime fans and new ones, right? We both kind of had a different experience watching that movie, but both of us had the reveal and it impacted us in different ways. So I thought that was really neat. Jake Gyllenhaal was brilliant. What's really interesting about all that is he really didn't change much between who he was in the beginning and who he was in the end. He, you know, good guy Mysterio, and, you know, villain Mysterio. Villain Mysterio was a little angrier, but I think he had reason to be, right? Because everything was kind of falling apart around him, and he was a control guy. They kind of made him out to be like this auteur director. So clearly, if things weren't going his way, he would have lost his mind. But man, Jake Gyllenhaal, just perfect casting. I'm not convinced he's dead, by the way. But even if Jake Gyllenhaal's character is dead, the Mysterio character is not, by nature of the fact that Mysterio is everybody. It's all those people in that room. And man, how about that reveal that it turns out that Mysterio is just a bunch of people who were that were basically just disgruntled Stark Industries employees. That Tony, from when he was not a great guy, right, while he was still learning, stepped on them or stepped over them or made them look foolish, etc., ignored their work, and all of a sudden they're coming together to make this crazy tech and try and take over the world. I thought that was fascinating. I thought that was a really cool reveal, and guess what, guys? Mysterio is not going away. I think Tom Holland, and I'll talk about the future of the Marvel Cinematic Universe in a moment, but I want to talk about Tom Holland. He is obviously blowing up. He's doing all sorts of stuff. This is a very young kid. He's in his early 20s, and where I think the first three phases of the Marvel Cinematic Universe were really on the shoulders of Chris Evans and Robert Downey Jr., in that they were two characters who were perfectly cast, and just about everything was told from their point of view, up to and including the fact that Civil War was obviously a fight between Captain America and Iron Man, right? Like, everything was told from their point of view, and a lot of it was told from Iron Man's point of view. For me, it feels pretty obvious that Phase 4 is going to be told from Peter Parker's point of view, in that. And that's reinforced by the fact that they explained, or at the very least introduced, the concept of the blip and what it did from the point of view of the kids. And so, as a result, I think moving forward, everything is on Tom Holland. And man, am I excited about this. He is a great actor. He's not even in his prime yet. You know, he is an, he's an amazing Spider-Man. He's funny. He's genuine. He looks the part. He is, definitely, I mean, he's a 20-something-year-old man, but he is very capable of playing an awkward teenager. He is built like Spider-Man. He's got the voice. I think the voice is an important part. Just because, you know, you have to sound like Spider-Man, especially since you spend a lot of time in that suit. So I really appreciate Tom Holland. Now, the big stinger, obviously he saves the day, gets with MJ, you know, he had like his big victory. And what I really appreciate about this is he had his big victory. He had his victory lap, where he saved the day. He came home, and MJ knows who he is. The fact that she figured him out. And by the way, Zendaya being Mary Jane, the, you know, super blunt, and I really like this take on her. She is, man, she's awesome. So he got his victory lap. They got to do the swinging around New York City, and she says, "I'm never going to do that again," which I think is really kind of funny. No one really addressed the fact that when Tobey Maguire did that with Kirsten Dunst, like, one has got to imagine that it would be terrifying, just being held onto by this crazy dude in a spandex suit and like swinging around New York City. But then the stinger that J.K. Simmons was recast as, J.K. Simmons was recast, and we had the Daily Bugle back, but this time it's basically InfoWars. Man, like, and that's how they revealed, because Mysterio sent them a really well-edited tape of Spider-Man basically killing him and killing a bunch of people, saying to execute them, and that he, you know, basically coming after Spider-Man, and turning and making him not the hero, right? This is something that has happened a number of times with Spider-Man, is that he keeps, you know, getting, you know, he's got to fight public opinion. And so the way that they revealed all that and just cut right at the end of it is absolute insanity to me. And it makes sense. That sets the tone for what could absolutely be, most of the next phase. Like, we could have phase four be all about, you know, superheroes dealing with that theme of, there are a lot of people that are probably are hurt and angry and, you know, really frustrated by how complicated their lives got because of what these superheroes did. And also these people who know that they are necessary and know that one of them had to make the ultimate sacrifice. So, like, somebody wanting to know that somebody else would be willing to do that. Having a phase four that is all about that and dealing with those types of problems sounds amazing to me. Like, we don't necessarily need to move into, you know, fighting Kang the Conqueror next, like, right away. We can absolutely just spend some time recentering ourselves and having a smaller story that has just as big of a scope. And man, having J.K. Simmons back in charge of the Daily Bugle, and being essentially like Alex Jones, brilliant, just stunt casting, but I don't care. I'm happy to have him back, because J. Jonah Jameson is necessary for Spider-Man to, like, do his work, right? Like, in order for, like, the Spider-Man story to really succeed, you need a J. Jonah Jameson. And to have him back, and to have him back with the power of being just a website, as opposed to, like, a faceless, like, not a faceless, but, like, he's not fighting a newspaper, right? Like, he's fighting something modern, which is technology and propaganda and things like that. Man, is that going to... I mean, now we know what Spider-Man 3 is going to be about, and probably all the movies in between. So, I thought that was great. The final post-credit scene with Samuel L. Jackson on the space station, that obviously had a lot... I don't watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It seems like that had a lot of an impact on those folks, so I can't really address that. Thought it was very interesting and kind of telling that the Marvel movies are going to be getting smaller and more introspective, kind of like dealing with, you know, Spider-Man and whether or not he's a criminal and all that stuff. But also, we're still going to have cosmic scale stuff, and it's going to be all sorts of characters all over the place. The fact that they quietly revealed that anyone could be a Skrull at any time. We spent the entire movie thinking we were talking to Maria Hill and Nick Fury, and it was not. They were two Skrulls. Clearly, we are going to have a Secret Wars eventually, which is, if you're not familiar with the comic plot lines, Secret Wars is where, you know, anyone can be a Skrull, and there are bad guy Skrulls out there that we know of that could be trying to kind of take over the world, and anyone could be one. And so they just quietly showed us that. And I think that's probably more important than what happened with Samuel Jackson and Nick Fury on the spaceship. So, yeah, those are some of my thoughts. I love that movie. It is definitely one of my favorite Spider-Man movies. It's right up there. I don't know if it's better than Into the Spider-Verse, but it's one of those two is at the top, and it'll probably oscillate. Because, man, I really enjoyed it. I loved everything about it. So I'd love to hear your thoughts. Hope you guys have a great day. I'll be back tomorrow talking about video games, as always. So until next time, have a great day, and don't forget to get your family game on. Bye now.